Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Fed Vice Chairman Richard Clarida expects the US economy to return to its pre-pandemic levels by the end of 2021. Is this maybe too optimistic? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Edine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the iconic Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having us. How are you? Hi, guys.
Good to see you, Peter. When we hear all these news, also like from the Fed Vice Chairman, do you think it's too optimistic to be back to normal by 2021?
You know what, I think there, as we always have often talked about, I think this story is so ever evolving, moment to moment, hour by hour, you know, to make a bold statement by that. I mean, he gave us enough time by the end of 2021. You know what, look, this happened very quickly. It's not going to go away as quickly. I'm hopeful that there will be a recovery economically by 2021. I imagine that what he says by saying that is that they will, it's funny, when the Fed people speak, it's important to note why they're saying what they're saying and what they really mean behind it. It's kind of funny who's hanging out behind the curtains. And I think what they're hoping to say by that comment, there's no way to predict what the recovery will look like. It's a V, it's an L, it's a U, who knows? We don't know so much. Right. We're still in the midst of a devastating pandemic economically, even more than all other parts of it. But I think what they're saying is that they're going to backstop the markets and that we hope the economy will catch up with the market.
Peter, moving back to the dollar, to the US dollar. I mean, we have seen that the dollar was weak the last days, the last weeks, actually. And we had on Friday good surprising non-farm payrolls that actually stopped this dropping of the dollar index. The euro also dropped on Friday. So at the end of the week, we have seen a small stabilization of the dollar. Is a weak dollar actually not a good advantage for the U.S. for the upcoming months and years?
You know what? For me, that's not my expertise and my wheelhouse. I understand that we are going to see very short-lived positive and negative reactions to what's going on. The dollar right now seems to me to be the sensitive piece of the puzzle that is reacting to what's going on. Whether, you know, in my opinion, I think we'll talk about it on this call, is what's going on with earnings. If you lower expectations enough, any earnings look positive, right? And also, I think that, you know, you're seeing with the dollar, there's so many moving parts to this. Right. You know, whether it's globally, whether it's domestically and whatnot. So it's not really an easy question for me to answer.
OK, thanks.
When you are talking about the earnings, they are on the one hand, the big listed corporates, on the other hand, small businesses. 100 CEOs wrote a letter to Congress saying that there must be more help also for the small businesses. So is there a danger of a lot of like bankrupt companies in the country?
The numbers that we are seeing from small business, restaurants, hospitality is quite devastating, I must admit. Numbers like 60% of all restaurants in the United States will never reopen again, right? And they employ a majority of the population here. So I think you're going to start seeing defaults as far as real estate. People are not paying their rent, whether it's personal, domicile, or it's corporate. So that's why I think the question is the dollar is a complicated question, and I think the economy is a really complicated question, because the more the story evolves, as we've talked about, it's even more obvious or ever present or apparent. The bifurcation between where the markets are going and where the economy is going. We are seeing that the top five stocks, which have carried the market itself into recovery, are not affected so much by the pandemic, right? NASDAQ is still yet, with all that's going on, hitting record highs. but you're going to see so many companies, it appears, in hospitality, in airlines, in travel, in sports, in restaurants, particularly. Small business is going to be hurt by this pandemic. And it's, you know, some of them are still holding on. Some of them are really, we're not hearing from yet, right? Some of them are on the cusp of things going really badly. So I think that story is really ever evolving.
And now we are hearing from Washington, D.C. that Democrats and Republicans are talking about new packages. Do you think there will be something new coming out, some more billions?
You know what? I mean, I believe we have to, right? You know, I mean, I think, look, there are people who are participating in the market and they are participating in the rally in the S&P, NASDAQ, and people who are in the stock market. Unfortunately, that is a small majority of the general public of America who has been the most affected physically and financially as far as healthcare goes by the pandemic. And small business, right? So I think we're kind of in trouble right now, and you know, and it's funny these small business, you know, they need to put together another stimulus package. How much is it? I don't really know. Are we going to target the $600 that was really just keeping the small guy holding on piece by bit by bit? Or is it going to be a little bit broader? It's clear that a lot of the high-flying companies in the market don't need any more stimulus. What really needs it is the basic general population, right? The individual who's worrying about putting food on the table and people who are compromised by this in a health way. And basically the bare bones, the nooks and crannies of our economy, of our society, who are really suffering. Right. You know, we know that number, that a majority of people in the United States don't have a nest egg of $500 to weather a crisis. Right. And that was before we saw this crisis. This crisis is so multifaceted in so many ways. Where I think it's really caused a fracture is in the state of the consumer. Yes, we're seeing a lot of people, you know, buying things online and keeping the high-flying tech companies, you know, in good condition. And we're seeing those companies that are benefiting from the pandemic. And we're getting a false sense of recovery from how well the stock market is doing. But that's being driven by a small group of people. And as we've spoken before, not by fundamentals. I really think it's important to look. We are now three quarters of the way through earnings season. And it was a very, basically, most companies reported 20% increase and whatnot. But it's important, as we know these numbers in good times and specifically in crisis, that our expectations have been lowered. I think what's interesting to me is that one of the things I found in the nooks and crannies of the reporting that's out there is that companies are posturing themselves to really have brought down their employees. Right. They are giving guidance relative to a lot of people being laid off, a lot of, you know, not people working from home. But I think you're going to see a lot of companies, whether it's from the retail space, whether it's from hospitality and airlines, at the end of the day and restaurant space, these people are not. When you're running a company on 30% capacity, well, you're not going to need full capacity employees. And unless they get more money or unless the state of the consumer changes in a radical way, I think we're going to start seeing some pain. That's my opinion. What do you think, Salah?
We discussed this gameplay that I discussed with you and Manuel the weeks and months before, that we need a vaccine and we need a decrease in corona infections. This is till now, it's not coming true. And I think the time is ticking away and we need a decision, whether it's help from the state, from the government, whether it's a healthy help like finding a vaccine that we didn't have till now. So I think we are in a big uncertainty right now, even if we can see. You said it like you said before, reality and markets are completely different right now. I mean, if we look on short-term moving averages on NASDAQ, S&P 500, Dow Jones, it doesn't matter where you look for. It always, if we are going down and testing this short-term moving averages, like the 21 moving average, you see that they are coming directly. We see new buying signals, which is actually a proof of, of a healthy trend right now. I don't like the word healthy in this time because the world is not healthy anymore right now. It's fragile, like you said. So we need a new story on the market. We need a new story, a positive story, to get this thing done.
So I appreciate what you said. You know, there's this, I don't know if it's called the death cross or the gold cross, but you
gold
know
cross.
How when the short-term moving average crosses the long-term moving average, it's actually a healthy sign in the market, and it's a buy signal, right? And that's where we're going. It happened, I believe, last Friday earlier this week, right? And you know, we've said the market's not up on fundamentals, but up on stimulus. But within that mode, we are seeing within the marketplace, which, as we know, is a complete bifurcation from where the economy is, we're seeing healthy buy signals. That's kind of fascinating. So, yes, you and I and Manuel are talking about markets per se, but I agree with you. We need a new story. You know, look, let's step back for a moment. The market is trading within small percentages. NASDAQ's at records. The other indices are trading right off the record highs, the pre-pandemic highs, right? Let people know clearly that's not where the economy is. That's where the market is. But I think we're seeing a bit of a flatlining, a sluggishness within it, you know, and you can have that within a market hitting up against technical resistance where you're seeing a little bit of sluggishness. We need to see some new story come out before we break through this, because it's been showing us a little bit of resistance. I know we're trading at highs, but within that realm of high and strong markets, we are seeing a little resistance here. So look, we are either going to, as we know, the story is evolving on a moment-to-moment basis. I think we are starting to see a little bit of the effects in the U.S. of the closeness of the election. Right. That's kind of adding a little bit of a dynamic in that. And I often say market politics don't have much of a role in it. But what I'm seeing, which I find fascinating, is that at this point, we're close enough to know and we're in enough of an economic crisis that whoever is elected the next president of the United States needs a plan on day one. Right. Clearly, the market's running on its own. It's doing OK. You know, it can be disemboweled, to use a Silence of the Lambs note. It can really be taken apart, as you often say, by one bit of bad news, right? You know, suddenly, you know, we push off the vaccine till late 2021. You know, we're living in an altered reality. Our administration is now calling for November 3rd as the day of the vaccine. I don't think that's realistic. We're looking into 2021. You know, as we say, is the market going to catch up with the economy? Is the economy going to catch up with the market? What is the next step in the stimulus? What is the Federal Reserve going to pull out of their hat coming soon? How much will effect that will have on the market? And hopefully it has a more of an effect on the economy per se.
Peter, we talked a few times already about the trade conflict between China and the U.S., and I just read another layer in this topic, that Chinese companies, which are listed, for example, at the New York Stock Exchange, not really open their books, and now the administration, the Donald Trump administration, said if they don't open their books, they have to leave the stock exchange. What is your inside view about this? Are there really no numbers available? Is there any secrets?
You know what? It's hard. You can never really tell with this administration whether it's just a thorn in Mr. Trump's side, the whole China thing, if he's trying to divert our attention, if he's starting to stir up problems with China. And, you know, whatever side of politics you're on, one of the things that is clearly apparent by this administration is where there is no crisis, they create one and then they try and solve it so that they look like a superhero in the game. Right. I don't know. Look, I'm not an expert on China. Is China, you know, holding back information from us as far as the virus, as WHO, as far as trade, as far as dealings with the Russians? I don't really know. Let's be clear that they are a controversial administration. As far as it relates to the floor of the stock exchange and the stocks that are public companies that are Chinese that have been listed over the last number of years, it's clear that there was talk of their accounting principles not being an open book to our regulators. And that seems to be a problem. Is it something that is a deal breaker? I don't really know. Is it just why with so much that's going on now, right? We need a plan. We need leadership. Trust me, 155,000 people are dead. The world is now resurfacing with new viruses all over. And as we watch the United States careen off a cliff relative to deaths rising on a daily basis, do we really need to be focused on the accounting principles of small Chinese companies that are listed on the stock exchange? I don't think so. Is it a diversion from our attention on the really important stuff? For me, that's clear.
Leadership is a good topic, actually, Peter, because we don't have leadership worldwidely actual. So that's why gold price is jumping up. Bitcoin is, since begin of the year, it's 60%. It created 60% plus performance. No other asset had so much gain. So this is for me an indication that we need leadership right now. Uncertainty is growing just because we don't have leadership. It's not just talking about the US and the US government. It's a all worldwide thing.
You bring up an incredible point, and I think it's so super powerful. We have showed what a lack of federal leadership in the U.S. can do. It completely can break down the support staff and the plan and strategy to take a unknown crisis, one bigger than ever, and show that a lack of leadership can cause what's caused here. Globally, right? I'm always reminded, and I'm not a big superhero movie person, but, you know, if you look at from Gold Member, to Spider-Man, you know, when the worlds are in crisis, this is a time where global leaders need to come together and say to everyone, we are here together as a team, because we've talked about it. We talked about it week one, that what I think differentiates this from a financial crisis or an economic crisis that we've seen over the years in the crashes and the different economic and financial crisis we've seen. This is a global crisis, global pandemic. There's not a human being on the earth who has not been affected by this pandemic, physically, spiritually, financially, and as far as their health goes. Not one. This is scorched the earth biblical business going on here. And so I think when you see a flight to safety to gold and the bitcoins, that is really telling us that in the nooks and crannies of the investment community, people are anxious, right? Let us not be fooled by a strong Dow and NASDAQ stock market. This thing could snap at any moment. It's being falsely supported in so many ways. It's important for us to note, wouldn't we feel better as a world if all of the leaders of the free world were to get together, look at the big, big picture here on how it's affecting different countries? Who has done a better job in dealing with it? Who needs our help globally? What is the next step in a strategic approach to get a handle on this? We're in August. We don't have a handle on this.
Yeah.
Some parts of the world have a better handle on us. But when you're looking at a situation that is so severe economically and health-wise, a health crisis, an economic, forget the markets for a moment, a health crisis and an economic crisis that we don't have a handle on it on August 7th, then we really need global leadership. So I appreciate you bringing that point up.
Thank you, Peter.
So, Peter, last question. Are you on TikTok, and would you like to buy TikTok for the US market?
You know what? I look, I have my fun time with social media. I find it fascinating. I think it's wonderful to build a brand and as far as advertising. This week I hit 16,000 people on Instagram. It's happened organically. It was a lot of fun for me, right? And I love getting across positive messages. I love that we get to share our insights into the market, though we are not recommending stocks and advising people financially. We get to really disseminate from three parts of the world to Stockholm. Where are you today, Sala?
I'm in Frankfurt today.
Okay, in Frankfurt. So we have, and I'm in the U.S. So I've had fun on TikTok from a personal point of view. I've not seen a lot of I've done TikTok with some of the Chinese reporters that used to work on that work on the stock exchange. A woman named Eileen, and I found that our videos, though the content was more comical and fun than that significant, had millions of views. I mean, I got 8 million views on a TikTok video I did. So, you know, is it some subterranean sabotage terrorist organization? I don't really know. Is it once again our administration trying to control things that they can, because they can't control things they can't? I think it's more a lot of that. You know, we are finding, which is unusual for a country like the United States, for our democratic needs and issues to be constrained at the moment. That is one of the odd things that this administration is doing, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican. The fact that our normalcy of what we're allowed to do and go out and be regular human beings here in the United States is being a bit controlled. So I don't know if it's more than that. What do you guys think about that, the TikTok story?
I think TikTok has a lot of potential, and I think it's the next big platform, and everybody who wants to build a brand and wants to have a worldwide audience should be on this. And that the US now is all again complaining about these things, I'm not surprised. I think it's what you said, it's a political decision to do this move, and we see the results at the moment.
Correct. What do you think, Sala?
Exactly. I mean, this is a small part of the trade conflict. I mean, generally speaking, this is just one puzzle of a lot of other puzzles that will come in, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Huawei, whether it's other companies that we don't have right now on focus. This trade dispute, there will be no winner in the future. Even China or US, there will be no winner. So actually for me, the loser are those that don't have these technologies. Look on Europe, we don't have TikTok. Look on other tech, big tech companies, we don't have them in Europe. They are either on the left side from Frankfurt or on the right side from Frankfurt. So either in East or in West, but not with us. So what I think, to be honest, there will be no winner. The losers will be those who are not the counterparts in this challenge.
Okay, I appreciate that.
But for me, it's clear now, Peter, to hit 8 million views on our videos, we have to dance and sing more. In
the I'm all in. You ask me to dance, I'll dance, baby.
So, okay, I promise in the next video, we have to do a little show.
Okay, the three of us, we'll do a dance. It'll be right? Fun.
Okay. A belly dance.
We'll do one of those coordinated dun 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 dun.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Good
guys,
one.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And thank you for watching the IG Trading Talk. I'm Manuel Koch. And for more information, go on ig.com. See you next time.